Amen. Guys, thank y'all so much. I am so excited to be here with y'all. It has been a really sweet privilege to jump on our collective team, actually on one of our lead teams. I lead Team Embrace, but then also getting asked to, share bits and pieces of my heart and glimpses into my story and what God has entrusted me with. And so I am so excited to share with you the work that God has done in and through me, through what he gave me. And so I'm just going to introduce myself. I am born and raised here in Dallas in the area and have had such a sweet privilege of growing up here at Watermark. And it has been honestly such a gift to have been in this body for so long, and thank the Lord for the many, many, many people in this body and the Bride of Christ that has helped shape a lot of my identity. And it is just truly an honor to stand up here on the stage after so long and get to share what God has done and in through his word. And so excited for you guys to be here. Okay, so humor me. How many of you love the mirror? Love the mirror. Okay, you like the mirror. I love it. How many of you would say you have a love-hate relationship with the mirror? Yes. Okay, now how many of you would agree with me there is such thing as a good mirror and a bad mirror? Yes. Okay, thank you. I'm not alone in that. Awesome. Well, I, for example, believe this because Target and TJ Maxx, I believe, have the best mirrors. Because you know why? I go in there and I shop and I try everything on. I love it. I buy it all. I come home and I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh my gosh. What? I don't remember it looking like that, you know? And then thinking, oh, feeling discouraged and feeling defeated and going, oh no, is that really what I look like? And so I just say that because I know I'm not alone. And I know that my story might be different than yours, but we all struggle with the mirror, okay? We all have a love-hate relationship with mirror, because wouldn't you agree that we love it when we like what we see, we hate it when we hate what we see, right? And then we quickly let that inform who we are, how we were made, what our identity, and that it lies whether or not we are beautiful or not. Okay? And so today, I'm going to share just little bits and pieces of my story and what changed my perspective on how I saw my body through different seasons in my life and moments of grief of not liking what I saw in the mirror. Okay? So let me back up and tell you a little bit of my story and a little bit of history. So I thankfully was brought up in a Christian home and had two parents that loved the Lord. And thankfully, long before I even came to this earth, were already walking with Jesus, had God's word informed and written on their heart. And so what is funny in that what you can see is I have been given something called dwarfism. Okay, I was born with achondroplasia, a dwarfism, which is means I have an average length spine, disproportional arms and legs, okay? But what's ironic is if you were to look at my parents and then look at my siblings, you'd go, huh, how did that happen? Why, how did this come from that, okay? Fun fact, I did check my facts today. I feel like I always get it wrong, but one in every 15,000 births, there's a child that is born with some kind of dwarfism. I have the most common dwarfism, but still has not made it super easy to accept because there's not many like us. You don't see that. And so it's real easy to feel alone. It's real easy to feel different and forgotten. And so, however, that has single-handedly been the biggest thing that God has used to shape my life. And so, as long as I can remember, the first Bible verse that I memorized and what quickly became my reason and my defense for why I was little was Psalms 139, 13 through 14. And I'm so grateful that that was the first thing that I learned long ago when I was little, when I began to get questions of, why are you different? Why are you little? What's wrong with you? My mom and dad thought, hey, the best thing that we can do for her is, one, not lie to her, not try to make any reason for it other than, hey, this is who God says you are. This is what God did in you. And so this is the reason why. And that is you were fearfully, wonderfully made. His works are wonderful. I know that full well. So even from the time that I was in elementary school, that began to be my reasoning for why I was the way I was or am. And so with that, because I was clinging to that truth and because we were constantly having conversations about what God did, why am I this way, and what was God's plan for me, that God grabbed a hold of my heart at a really early age. So I came to trust Christ, acknowledge him as my personal savior, and began walking with him, okay? However, this did not make it easy. I'm going to quickly walk through four different stages of my life where there were moments that I was still struggling to believe that this was good. And the earliest memory I can have, or that I have of fully grasping, oh, that's really what this is, elementary school, third grade, we were getting ready for a choir concert, and our choir teacher got us up on the bleachers, we were rehearsing, and she was like, I'm going to film you guys, and then later we'll go back and we'll watch the film so that you can see your little dance moves, and then I can critique, and then that way we know the best way to prepare for the concert. And I was like, okay, great. So we go back and we watch. And of course, I'm on the front row on the corner so that I can see. And I remember watching and remember going, oh my gosh. And so can you imagine, I forget, third grade's probably 8 or 9 years old. And you're like, okay, so that is what they see. Because of course I'm moving around and it's different when you just stand in the mirror and you're like, well, this is me. And then you see yourself on video or in pictures compared to other people. And you're like, and so that's when my questioning began of, God, really? Like, is this good? What do you plan on doing with that? Okay. Thankfully, you grow up, you stay in the same schools, you're around the same people, lots of kids would ask questions, so I would give them my answer, and it was like, okay, great, I accepted it. They accepted it, and then we moved on. So middle school came, and it was kind of right around the age and the season of life that you're kind of like getting involved with all the extracurricular activities to figure out what you're good at, what you're going to be involved in. And I remember going, okay, what's going to be my thing? And this is when you could make the cheerleading squad by purchasing a uniform. So I made the cheerleading squad, okay? And I felt so proud about it. I was so excited. And thankfully with my personality, it was such a great fit. So I was in the cheer squad. Okay, so in that season, I remember practicing for our first pep rally and going up to do a high V and realizing, oh, this is a high U. Like, what? And realizing too, again, having little and small bits and pieces of my heart deep down inside, realizing, oh, like there's nothing I can do about this. My arm, this is the way my arms were built, and there's no straightening. And when your coach is like, straighten your arm, you know, they're perfecting and they're sitting there and critique you. No, you don't look right. You need to move over. And you're like, okay. And in my mind, I'm like, I know that you don't like what you see. I don't like what I see. And there's nothing I can do about it. Okay. So then comes high school. And here we are again. Everybody has now blossomed and matured. We've gone through puberty. Everybody's turning into these beautiful girls are growing, filling out, getting skinny, you know, on the soccer team, running track. And I'm like, well, I cannot run to save my life. And there's no soccer. There's no, you know, track or whatever. And what else am I going to do? I actually tried out for the cheerleading squad. 9th and 10th grade made it. And I mean, really, I made it. So I was really proud. And then 10th and 11th and 12th grade, I tried out, didn't make it because I couldn't do the qualifications where you had to do a standing full. If you know what that is, it's super hard. You know, you jump back and you have to do 4 little spins. Anyways, no way. But a girl happened to get kicked off the team and I was next in line. So I got in the cheer squad, which was awesome and fun. And thankfully at this time I was still wrestling. And I didn't find so much identity, but I also was super excited because of my personality. I was, what you would say, I was in the cool crowd. I was well-liked, had great relationships. And then I was on the cheer squad. So I was seen and I was known. And so I was like, I feel good. This is good. And like, I don't know really what's next in life, but I'm on the cheer squad and we're good. And so, but in comes when you're in high school, you're like, oh, dating's a thing. I want to date. even though half of my mind was like, no, this is a high school boys, not worth it, not at all. However, when it comes to homecoming and prom, every girl dreams of being chosen. Every girl dreams of being asked. And I know that I'm not alone in this, right? You hope that you are chosen and that somebody would choose you to go to the dance. And then, and so thankfully, I was, yes, I had a really great friend that asked me to go with them. And so we went, but then there's pictures, okay? You dress up and you get all beautiful and every girl, you know, you want to feel pretty. And this is when you get the excuse to buy the big gown and you get stand in the mirror and you twirl. And then for me, moment of, oh, okay, but in photos where everyone does the side and like leans in, like it's just going to be like raising the bar, the AT&T commercial. I'm just going to be, meh, you know, at the very end and feel awkward and, you know, whatnot. But so again, questioning, God, is this good? I don't see the beauty in this. All I see is disproportional and broken and perfect. But okay, I'm going to trust you. So then I go to college. And I love college. College is a really sweet season. My relationship with the Lord grew immensely, got involved in a lot of different ministries, and found a lot of joy in giving my life away. And as I was growing spiritually, learning more about the Lord, learning more about the purpose in which we are called to live, there was a lot of joy that came from that. However, like you guys know, when you're in college and what's happening around you as you're looking for your career, you're taking what you did in high school and you're like, how can I apply that to my life? What's this going to mean for my future? And so what I'm gifted at, whether that's performing, and I knew there's no performing, not athletically, in a lot of different ways. And then by then, I still wasn't dating. And in college, watching people date, watching people get asked to, you know, date parties and then get married and start having babies and just realizing, okay, again, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do with this. I found some security and being around people I knew, and there's always this next step. But then when you're in college and you graduate and everyone's getting married, and now you're like, okay, now what? Now I got to go get a job. And what am I going to do? And so much of our world operates on beauty and fame and what you can do for me and how you'll perform and where your gifts are. And I was like, I just don't have any of that. How the world defines beauty and success. And so here's where I am today, okay, and lands me in front of you to share with you just the beauty in being broken and what I have learned from, man, just dying to the idea of being perfect or being, living as, or recognizing that things in this life, in this world are not as they should be. And so I want to tell you before I jump in and talk specifically about what God was teaching me through all these moments, I want to address and recognize, I know that I am not the only one. I know that in this room, many of you have questioned why God gave you what he did. And whether that is your body, whether that's your story, a diagnosis, a tragedy, difficult relationships, man, all sorts of things. I know that we all struggle in here with believing God's good and that his plan is perfect for the way that he created you. Okay? And so even though we still experience moments of grief and pain, tonight I'm gonna remind you of that. There's beauty in the brokenness and purpose in the imperfections. Your identity, your worth, your value is not in what you look like. It's not in how you perform or what you have to offer this world. Okay? God's word is the truth, and the truth reminds me and gives me everything I need to know about who my God is as my creator, his perfect design, and his purposeful plan for my life. And the same is true for you, okay? So let me tell you what I mean by beautiful and what I mean by broken, okay? The world defines, I looked this up, the world defines beauty as a combination of qualities such as shape, color, form, or form that pleases the aesthetic senses, especially the sight. Now brokenness, the world defines brokenness as having been fractured, damaged, and no longer in one piece or in working order, okay? I can stand here today and admit that I have felt those things. I do not feel beautiful in sight, therefore my worth is not valued. I feel dysfunctional, I feel damaged, and I feel like I'm not in one piece or in working order, okay? But now there is brokenness and there are imperfections because there was sin that entered the world a long time ago. The whole earth fell, and we know that on this side of heaven, not everything is as it should be. There's death, decay, dysfunction in our bodies. Our minds are not as they should be. As a result of the fall, we will not be fully restored on this side of heaven. But God in his sovereignty chooses to redeem and restore us by using these imperfections to point us and others to him. Okay? That being said, tonight we're going to look at three different passages that have shaped my belief in who God is and how God made me, and that it was perfect for his purpose. And there'll be 3 points, okay? I'm just going to walk through this, and we're going to go through the scripture first, and then I'll give you the points if you're taking notes and following along. So, first, we're gonna take you back to Psalms 139, 13 through 14. And you guys, I know some of you that may be reading this for the first time, and I'm so glad I'm here to introduce you to these words. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I know that full well. Okay, what does that say about God? I want you guys to think about that for just a second. What does that say about God? He is intentional. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When I look at these scriptures, and I even have it in my notes, I often insert my name or that word I to remind myself. And then as I work on memorizing these scriptures, it's so sweet because I can hear it as if the Lord had written it for me, and he did. So, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am does not lead me to doubt. It's not a question, it's a statement. God defines me, my image, my body as fearfully and wonderfully made. What do you believe about what God says about you? What is keeping you from believing that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? The truth is about this passage is there's beauty in the brokenness because we are beautiful regardless of the imperfections because God says we are. He says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I don't know if you've ever done a word study, but when God uses the word fearfully or fear, it means in awe and in reverence. It's not scary. It's not a fear that brings, you know, emotion of afraid, but it is in reverence and it's in awe. And so I want you guys to sit and think about when God created you, he was in awe of you. He was in awe of what he made of you. Okay? And so he says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The work of his design is wonderful, and we can know that full well. There is where my confidence and security is found, okay? And oftentimes, it is not paired with any emotion. A lot of times, us women, God gave us emotions, and it's a good thing, but we often believe what is true when we feel something versus allowing truth to inform our feelings and to bring about an emotion of, God, my God is in awe of me. Okay, second passage we're going to look at is Ephesians 2:10. God's word essentially says what is imperfect is perfect because for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Okay, again, what does God that say about God? What does that say about God? I want you guys to think about that. I read that and I read, man, I am his masterpiece. I am his masterpiece. When you think about an artist, whether that's music, whether that's painting or drawing, anybody that creates something, what masterpiece is the final product, okay? Something that they have spent long time building, creating, thinking through every single detail. And at the end, it is presented. And so just picture yourself. God presents us and presents me as his masterpiece. And when you think about God placing and putting you intentionally here in this world, that he calls you a masterpiece, he created you to bear his image and to be the work of his hands and to display the masterpiece and the designer, to show off the designer and creator that he is. When I read that, that's what I see, and that's how I see my creator, okay? Created in Christ, the principle with that is a work of outstanding craft or workmanship. I am the final product, the masterpiece. Now, the second part to that is created in Christ to do good things that he planned. So he's stated his intentions, okay? And then the purpose is I was created to do good things. So there was a purpose before the masterpiece, for the work of art. I was created to do something and do good things for him that he had planned. This was not an accident. And so when I read that and I think about me, okay, I'm your masterpiece. You created me to do good things, even in this form, for you and for your purpose. So now the question becomes, what is that? What is the good thing that you have created me to do? Application here for you guys. Do you believe that you are his masterpiece? Do you believe God intentionally designed you with a purpose to do good things? And what are those good things? What imperfections are keeping you from believing God's goodness and his design? The truth in this is that there is beauty in the brokenness because my imperfections were part of his masterpiece, created for a purpose in which he planned. And that is beautiful. Going on to the third one, our purpose is worship. A big part of our design is worship. And I know that from Romans 12. So therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true proper form of worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay? So what I take from that is that this is my true form of worship. This is how I can glorify God, is by stewarding the body that he gave me. And I like to use the word entrust, because God chose this for me, and he chose what he gave you to you for a specific purpose, and to steward well for his purpose. And in you doing that is you worshiping our creator and our designer. Okay? And in by doing this, by rejecting the world and not conforming to what the world says is beautiful, or living in fear because you believe that you are broken and dysfunctional and there's no purpose, by renewing your mind with the truth of God's word, then you will be able to do what I'm doing up here and say, I have tested and I can approve that this is true. This is what God's will is, this good, perfect, and pleasing will. So in that, this is my true form of worship. This is how I can glorify God, by offering my body as a living sacrifice and be transformed by the renewing of my mind. What does this mean? What does it mean for you to offer your body as a living sacrifice? Some people think sacrifice, and you're like, do I have to lay my life down physically? Okay, maybe not the way you're thinking, but giving your body to the Lord, asking the Lord and going, hey, if that means on a day-to-day basis going, Lord, this is the body you gave me. Do with it what you please. Help me to steward it well. Help me to use my body to work hard and use it to build your kingdom, to know you and make you known in whatever way that looks like. And that's where God's creativity just expands, because the way we get to worship with our bodies can look different. Some of you might be athletes. Some of you might be really good at math and might work in finance. Some of you might be artists. Some of you might, run track. There's all different things. And there's even hobbies, and then there's like the way that you're employed, like your gifts, the thing that you do for a living. that God would use you to glorify him in doing what you're good at, what he created you to be good at for his glory and our good, okay? So the truth in that is there's beauty in the brokenness, because as I offer my body as a living sacrifice, I can still worship my God. And when I renew my mind, I can test and improve what his good, perfect, pleasing will be. And so one more application with that is, are you being renewing your mind, or are you being conformed to the pattern of this world? Girls, I know there are thousands of messages coming to you all over the place of what is beautiful, what is worthy to give your life to. If I just do this, if I just look this way, if I just show more skin, if I just dress a certain way, or if I have this certain job, if I date this guy, if I date this kind of guy, or, you know, if I marry rich, all the things that the world would say defines as beautiful and successful. Okay, so real quick, in conclusion, I'm going to give you those 3 points again. There's beauty in the brokenness because I am beautiful regardless of the imperfections, because God says I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The works of his design is wonderful, and I can know that full well. This is where our confidence and security is found. There's beauty in the brokenness because my imperfections were part of his masterpiece, created for a purpose in which he planned. There's beauty in the brokenness because as I offer my body as a living sacrifice, I can still worship my God, okay? And in conclusion, the world defines beauty in its appearance. God explains beauty from character, in the inner beauty, what's in the heart, okay? And so there's a few scriptures I'm going to give you, okay? Just to save time, I'm going to give you 3 scriptures that focus on the inside, the character, that point out that God cares about character and godliness, and that those things define true beauty. 1 Peter 3, chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, and that's the verse about your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry, but instead it should be at the inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is great worth in God's sight. Okay, Colossians 3:12 is, man, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and peace. And then the one we know often is, and we hear often, is Proverbs 31:30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. Or in some versions it says fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Okay, again, there's that word fear in reverence and awe of the Lord. Like a woman who gives her life over to the world, the Lord. Okay, and so I have to stop and think, am I a woman who fears the Lord in spite of my circumstances? I may not be called beautiful in the eyes of the world because the world doesn't see things the way God sees them. In fact, God is the one that designed the world. But also, the world is not my maker and this is not my home. But I am his masterpiece, fearfully and wonderfully made, created to do good works for him, even in all my imperfections. Okay, again, where the world defines brokenness as having been fractured or damaged and no longer in one piece or in working order, this is used to be the way that I would describe, or the way that I saw my body. But now God has helped me to see his purposes past what I might appear to be imperfections. And when renewing my mind, today and every day, I focus on the things that he did give me. I focus on what I know from his word and the intention of his design. Although it may not be as I would want or had hoped, it's what I have been chosen and given and asked to steward so that God can be glorified in me, okay? And so I'm going to do a little illustration for you, because I know, like we talked about, we stand in the mirror. We stand and look in front of the mirror, and we don't like what we see, okay? And this is what I have, and I might cry through this, but this is a way that God has so sweetly helped me to renew my mind, is that when I look in the mirror, as you guys can see, just the differences in my physical body, bowed arms, bowed legs, a big head, when I sit down, I have scoliosis, so my spine bends abnormally, and there's a lot that I can't do physically, or that is physically hard, because of this, the imperfect, perfect body that God gave me. And so I get to stand in the mirror every day and point out the things that I don't like and say, Lord, use these hands to care for the weak. Use these hands to labor and to chase and run and embrace and grab the people that are broken, that I would do, and I would be quick to serve. I look at these arms that are bowed and that can't hold much, but I could still embrace someone. I could still hold things. I could still give life through the power of touch. And if you have said that I am an image bearer and that we bear the image of God, I can physically show up and still use the things that you've given me. I have a spine that thankfully holds all these body parts together. And so when I look at that and the way things fit on me, and I'm like, hey, thank you that I have movement, that I have a spine that works, that holds it all together, and that I can move and I can dance and I can sit up and I can stand firm and right with the Lord, that I can carry people's burdens, and that may not be physically, but emotionally and mentally, I am strong, and the Lord is my strength. My legs, they don't run. They don't, there's lots that they can't do, and they fit, but I can stand here and deliver the good news. The feet, small, wide, hard to fit, but they are planted on the root of God. So God has given me everything that I need to show you his goodness, to point you to the one that loves you and that created you, to build his kingdom with all that you have. And it might look different than mine, and your story is different than mine. But I encourage you, there is so much peace and so much hope when you die to the image that you thought that you would have or that you feel entitled to. And there's freedom when you let go of the image that the world says that you should look like and go, Lord, here I am. All that I have is yours. Because I get to let people watch me steward the things that he's given me and let people go, how do you do that? Why? And so then I get to tell them the hope of the good news. And here's where I tell you the good news. It was because of God's body being broken on the cross. The last thing that he said before he went to Calvary is, take this bread. This is the bread that represents my body that will be broken on the cross. And it's through his scars, it's through his wounds that we're healed. And so his body was broken in all his perfection while he spent his life here on earth. He gave his life up so that you could be redeemed. Your life could be restored through the blood that was sacrificed through his body. And so when I know that I have hope and I have been renewed and restored because, man, God purchased me on the cross and then specifically and intentionally designed me this way so that I could live a life completely dependent on him, because the Lord knows I didn't do this, I can't control it, and there's nothing I can change. And so by God's grace, I get to walk daily and depend on him for my hope, for my confidence, and my security. And I am so thankful that I'm here today to tell you that there are still moments of grief. In the battle, it is hard, but it's so worth it. Because when I think about, when I go back to Ephesians 2:10 and remember the good works that he had planned for me, if this body was given to me so that I could stand here today and tell you that, and someone's life changes because they realized for the first time that you were not a mistake, that there was beauty in all the brokenness of your life or your body, so that God could use it to point others to him and to point you to him. That makes this worth it. That's better than me wanting to be married, me wanting to be chosen and loved and accepted and seen as beautiful in the eyes of the world. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because someone's eternity and God, me working out my salvation, spending my life knowing him and experiencing the fullness of joy in which he created for me is worth it. And so it is beautiful. And so I want to thank you guys for letting me share that. And I pray that you would ask yourself those questions. I'm not sure we have time for a Q&A right now, but just want to say, hey, I'd love to have a conversation with you. If you want to shoot questions to the collective email and put my name on it, I would love to respond or find time to answer them. But thank you all so much. I'm going to pray for us really quick, and then you guys will be free to go. Lord, thank you so much for today. God, thank you that you knit every woman in this room in their mother's womb and that there was no mistake. No mistake, even just in the pain that they might be walking in. God, through a diagnosis, through just made pain in their physical body, just feeling rejected and worthless and dysfunctional and man, defeated. God, you have a perfect plan and purpose for their life, and you call them beautiful. And also, God, you are not done with our stories, and so I pray that they would renew their mind, that they, as they look at themselves in the mirror, that they would see purpose and that they would see value because of what your word says about them. God, I just pray for all the stories that you're writing, that you would bring redemption and restoration, that you would be their hope and the source of their strength. Thank you just for the privilege it is to share my wounds and my grief, and that, God, I get to continue walking dependent on you. We love you, Father, and thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.